Okay, good evening, everybody. Tonight, Be'ez Hashem, we're finishing Be'ez Hashem, Simen Shin Zayin, and beginning Simen Shin Ches. So we are up to, the Ramah in Si'if Chav Beis of Simen Shin Zayin. So this is still on page Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, although today's Amud is Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. So let's begin with that Ramah. Kol Davar She'Asa Lomar Le'Eino Yehudi La'Asos B'Shabbos, Asu Lirmoz La'Asos. So anything you're not allowed to ask an Eino Yehudi to do for you on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to hint to him that he should do it for you on Shabbos. Aval Mutal But you're allowed to do a remiza on Shabbos for him to do malacha for you after Shabbos. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah Sivkat Nayin Hey, Sivkat Nayin Vav. Rather, Asr Lirmos Degamza Hu Bechal Amir Leinu Yudi. Even remiza is included in Amir Lakum Kivin Shali Derim Mizasa Asa B'Shabbos, because it's through your remiza that he's going to do it on Shabbos. V'hu Adin Shasr Lomar Lo B'Shabbos Says the Davar Shiyavin Mitochach Shiyasa Malacha. You also can't say something to him that by your saying that he's going to understand that you want him to do malacha. You shouldn't tell an Eino Yehudi that he should clean his nose, I guess, I don't know what that means, in order that he'll be able to understand that he should clean out the ash from the top of an air. But if you don't do a Lashon Tzivoy, you don't tell him, I want you to do something. You just say, oh, this candle's not lighting cleanly. Or it's so hard to read by the light of this candle because it's all blackened. And the Eino Yehudi hears about that and he says, oh, I could fix that. And he goes and he fixes it. Shari, that's mutter, that is not a violation of Amira. And you don't have to worry about the fact that you're getting hana'a from a malacha that was done for you, because you could have read by that or haner beforehand. It just wasn't as bright, so you're not really getting hana'a from it because from the malacha that was done for you, because it's not considered substantial hana'a since you can't do anything new that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to do. So what essentially the Mishnah Berurah is telling us is that the only type of remiza that's mutter is remiza shalo b'derech tzivui. Shalo b'derech tzivui means that you do not mention the malacha that you want done, nor is there any call to action. You just say, ah, it's so dark in here, right? So that's a remiza shalo b'derech tzivui. That's the only type of remiza that's mutter. And even when you do that kind of remiza, you have to make sure you're not violating the isra of getting hana'a from a lacha that was done for you by a non-Jew. Back into the Ramah. If a non-Jew brings grain on Shabbos that he owes him, and the Jew gives him his key to his storage facility, and then Yehudi dumps it over there and measures it out and counts it out, so there are those that are matir because the Eino Yehudi is doing malacha with his own grain. It's not your grain yet. It's only going to become your grain when he's finished. When he's finished measuring it all out afterwards. If a non-Jew makes cheese on Shabbos with his own stuff, and the Jew watches it, but with the plans of buying it later, the Eino Yehudi is the one doing the malacha on his own stuff. Even though the Yisrael stands there for a long time, and clearly the intention is that he's going to sell it to the Jewish person, Shari, that is nevertheless Mutter. Sivkat an ayin zayin b'melech satzmo aval ha-matvur shal Yisrael, but if the grain belonged to the Jew, asr lomar lein yehudi lefanoso, you cannot ask the non-Jew to clear it out. V'adin b'chol davar mukta david lishul tzushvos v'ein mutter kiyim l'tzorka mitzvah k'tzas choli. You can't ask an any yehudi to be metaltal mukta, because by asking an any yehudi to be metaltal mukta, that's a shvus to shvus. And yes, a shvus to shvus is sometimes mutter, but only when it's b'makum choli or l'tzorach mitzvah. Or kanal b'siv hey, like we learned siv hey, magen avram meaning this is a long discussion about when exactly shvus to shvus is mutter. If it doesn't belong to the Jew until after it's fully measured, before it's measured out and all cheshmed out, it's not yours yet. If a non-Jew brings his stuff to a Jewish home home on Shabbos, even if it's mukta stuff and he brought it for you, since it's in the hands of a non-Jew, you didn't tell him to carry it. You're not allowed to tell him to be metaltal mukta, but he's already carrying it, so you could tell him where to put it down. That you're allowed to do if it's a place that's convenient for you. If katan ayin tes, even though the Jew is standing there as he's making the cheese and at the time of the milking of the cow, in order that the Jew could oversee the whole process so that he could later buy it, meaning it's not a violation of chalavakum or gavinosakum, and that's why the Jew is there. He's making sure that it's not a violation of anything, that it's all kosher. And why does he want it to be kosher? So that he could buy it. So that's his intention in being there. But at the bottom line is, the Yehudi is doing it on his own stuff, and therefore it's going to be mutter. And finally, even if the Yehudi only makes the cheese on Shabbos, if the Jew is accepting it as a chov that's owed to him, and if he doesn't get it, he's going to lose that chov, then it's mutter, because while it's being done, it still belongs to the non-Jew. So that concludes Siman Shin Zayin. Let's now begin Siman Shin Ches. Siman Shin Ches, Mishnah Berurah starts with an introduction, and Siman Shin Ches is about Mukta. So let's see the introduction to Siman Shin Ches. Hinei Kodem Shin Var Siman Zeh Aktim Psich Ktana. Before we elaborate on explaining each line of this Siman, let me start with a little introduction. Hinei, Isser Tzitzel Mukta Shegodru Chazal Kos Ram Sof Perich Avdal V'zel Shona. The Rambam describes Isser Mukta as follows. That there are certain things you're not allowed to handle on Shabbos the way you would on a weekday. Why is there such an Isser? The Rambam gives three reasons and the Ravid adds a fourth. Why is there such a thing called Nisr Muksa? Amru, number one. If you're not allowed to walk on Shabbos the way you walk during the week, you're not allowed to talk on Shabbos the way you talk during the week. Certainly you shouldn't handle the same things on Shabbos that you do during the week, so that you don't treat it like a weekday. You can end up moving stuff from one home to another, from one room to another. You'll rearrange the furniture. Because it's a weekend. You're off from work. You're sitting there. You can't do any malacha. So you're gonna be looking for things to keep you busy. So what do people do on weekends? They do yard work and they schlep furniture and they do all sorts of stuff. Turns out you were not shoves and therefore you violated lemanya nuach. The whole point is that you're supposed to rest from work, not that you're supposed to find other kinds of work besides for the 39 categories. You're supposed to rest from work. Reason number two, when you're dealing with the klichem lachtel iser, so if you're handling pens and hammers and things like that all day, you might come to write or to nail in a nail or something like that. The third reason, some people never work. They're retired, or they're trust fund babies, or they're unemployed, whatever. That they never ever do work. If they're allowed to walk and talk and do all the normal things they do every other day, then that's an important phrase. Turns out that yes, you were shoves, but not a shvisa hanikeres. You were shoves from malacha, but not in a recognizable way. And therefore, the shvisa from these things, which apply equally to everyone, whether you're employed or unemployed, and that's why you're only allowed to handle kelim that you actually need on Shabbos. But then the Ravid gives a fourth reason. It's a way to avoid violating otzah. If we allow a person to be metaltal anything, you might come to carry things from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So that's part one of the introduction. Four reasons for the Isser Mukta. Vida. In the next five simanim, we're going to discuss four different categories of mukta. First is called mukta machmas chesron kis, something that you would never use for anything but its intended purpose, lest it get ruined in some secondary usage. Second category, worry. Davrshenu kli v'lamachal adam v'lamachal beima, something that is neither a kli nor food. Kigon avanim v'kanim u'ma'os, rocks and reeds and money v'eitzim v'koros v'afra v'chol and sand and dirt and beams u'meis u'balichayim u'grogros u'tzimukim shemidachim v'akum shemisyabshim and fruit that's drying and is in an inedible state v'chol chiyotzim v'zedolochazi mikru machmas gufo. That's called the muktzah machmas gufo. Chelik shlishi, a third category of muktzah, kli shemalach l'lisser b'sif gimel. We're going to see in sif gimel is something called kli shemalach l'lisser, a kli that you typically use to do malacha with. And chelik revi'i, a fourth category, kli shemalach l'heter munach l'avdav muktzah, something that's a kli shemalach l'heter, but there's a muktzah item on it. It's what we call a basas l'davar aser. V'afilu husr b'shabbos, even if you remove that item from it on Shabbos, given shahaya l'av ben hashmashos, since the aser item was on it ben hashmashos, since it was muktzah and benish mashos, it remains muktzah the whole rest of the day. He says, but outside of these five simanim, there are going to be two other types of muktzah that you will come across in Shulchan Aruch that aren't on this list. We're going to talk about something that was not yet trapped or was still attached to the ground when Yontav started. Shein is another category that's not for Hilcha Shabbos. Muktzah machmas mitzvah. Something that's designated for its particular mitzvah, like the wood of a sukkah or the decorations of a sukkah. And we'll get to that in a sukkah. So if you really want to learn muktzah well, you need to learn shinchas, shintas, shinyod, shinyod alf, shinyod beis. These five simanim, and you will know muktzah klar. Now let's start sim shinchas. There's a heter tiltal on any type of muktzah item except for muktzah machmas chasum kis. There's no moving of muktzah machmas chasum kis, meaning on any type of muktzah kli except for muktzah machmas chasum kis. Kigon sakin shel shchita or shel mila, what would be a muktzah machmas chasum kis? The shchita knife of a shochet, the mila knife of a mail, the ismal shel saparim, the barber's razor, the sakin shel sofrim, the knife that the scribe uses, shem sakin v'al kumosim, where he prepares the kulmus, he prepares whatever it is, the quill and the parchments or whatever it is. Kivish shemakpitim shalol lasos b'mtash m'shacher, since they're makbid not to use it for any other usage, asol taltol b'shabbos. That's what makes a muktzah machmas chasun kis, and you're not allowed to be mataltol b'shabbos. V'afilu tzorach mekomel tzorach gufo, even if you need it or you need the space that it's occupying. V'afilu tchuvim b'nadonim shar sakinim, and even if it's stuck into a thing that holds knives together with a bunch of other knives, asol taltol, you're not allowed to move that knife. And the same is true with, I guess that means like a hammer that's used for people who chop spices because they're makbid that it shouldn't get ruined or dirty. And the same is true about merchandise. Let's say you have a store in your house where you sell merchandise, so all that kelim are put away for schora, and you're makbid not to use it for yourself, so that's going to be muktzah. Says the Mishabura Sivkat Nalif, Kala kelim, Ratzalam Rafil Klisham Nakhla Li Isser, Nital Al Kalpanam Sorokufa Makamuk. Even a klisham nachta lisser, there's a heter tiltul if it's l'tzorach gufo or makomo. But these things, you don't even have a heter tzorach gufo or makomo. Chesun kis, ratzalomer shemachmas chashash hefzid umakbar aleim shalotatlam umaksos amidaito. Chesun kis means that because you're afraid of the loss that's going to come about by ruining it, you don't use it for anything other than its primary purpose. And therefore, you put it out of your mind to use it for anything else. Hakul mosim, v'adin shari dvarm shemakbar aleim shalotatlam umaksos. Could be anything that you're makbid not to use. Kugon, magera gadolah shemenasim basakoros, a large saw that cuts beams, or sakin shel ratzanim, or a shoemaker's knife, or niyar chalak shomid l'ksiva, or a piece of paper, a clean sheet of paper. It doesn't have to be expensive. Clean sheet of paper is very, very cheap nowadays. But if you never use a clean sheet of paper just for some random use, you would only use it for its intended use, to print something on or to write something on, then it's aser. K'mosh kosva pasul chol ki agavna l'tzorach gufo dainu shetzorach l'gufa davar l'melacha acheres shel hat. The tzorach gufo means that you need this item for some other purpose other than the is aser function, for some mutter function. You need this item. Classic example of a tzorach gufo is you need a hammer, but not to a hammer in a nail, but to break open a nut, right? Something like that. L'taltalo, pirush osa sakin shel sofrim osa l'taltalo. That knife of sofrim, which is a muktzah machmas chasum kis, you're not allowed to be metaltal it, even though it's stuck in with a whole bunch of other knives. I might have thought that since it's together with a whole bunch of other knives stuck into this base that holds these knives, you're not makbid about it. That's why he tells me, you are makbid about that one. But if you take the whole thing with all the knives stuck into it and you move the whole thing around, so then it's mutter, even though one of the knives happens to be because the nadon, which is the thing that holds the knives, has both mutter knives and usher knives in it. So it's a basus l'davar asur l'davar mutter. Mutter nar gamkin is sakin as emitocho. You can also shake out this knife from it. Unless this knife is more chashuv than all the other knives, then you're not allowed to move the entire unit. Shemakpidim alav. So we said if you have merchandise that you're makpid about, v'imueno makpid lavi lidzidei muksamach maschasun kis. And if he's not makpid, then it's not considered for him to be muksamach maschasun kis. A huge chiddush, right? Meaning, let's say a moel, he would never let anyone use his knife unless he's a careless moel. He doesn't care, or he makes these knives all the time, and it doesn't bother him that much that people use his knife. So if he doesn't care that his knife is used as a butter knife or something like that sometimes, then for him it's not muksamach maschasun kis. If it's merchandise, you have to be makbid that not to use it so it doesn't get ruined. But if you're not makbid about it, even though it is designated as merchandise, and you store it, meaning someone has a home store where they sell gifts for Shabbos or something like that, so their whole basement is full of gifts for Shabbos, you know, a cash business or whatever, it doesn't have to be that. But, you know, so their whole, so if we need a challah knife, what do we do with the challah knife? They would never go to the store and take the challah knife from the store, because that's merchandise, then it's muksamach maschasun kis. But if sometimes when they're in a bind, and they're like, yeah, okay, we'll take one of the challah knives from the store, then it's not muksamach maschasun kis. So to review, tonight's long shiur, number one, the Yisr of Emri L'Nachri includes even remiza, which is any call to action or any mention of the malacha. But remiza shelo b'derech tzivoy is mutter, meaning if there's no call to action, no mention of the malacha, as long as you don't violate the issue of getting hana'a from the malacha as well. Second, a non-Jew can be metaltal muktzah or do malacha with his own stuff, even if the intention is for the Jew to acquire it, and even if the Jew is standing right there with the intention to one day acquire it. Third, there are four reasons for the Yisr muktzah. Now, the first is that if you walk and talk differently on Shabbos, you should certainly handle things differently. Second, it's going to lead to malacha, because you're going to handle things that you do malacha with. Third, it's a shvisa hanikeres, because some people never work, so we need to make it clear why you're not working. And fourth is that the rabbi reason that it might lead to hotza'a, that you might come to carry. Then we said there are four types of muksa that we're going to discuss in these five simanim. Muksa machmas chesun kis, muksa machmas gufo, klisha malachta l'isir, and a basal sadavar asir. And then finally we said that muksa machmas chesun kis, which is defined as something you personally are makbid, not to use for other purposes, lest they get ruined, are asir to be metaltel even l'tzorech gufo and l'tzorech mekomo. From tomorrow, we'll pick up with Se'ifim, Beis, and Gimel. I'm not sure yet from where and when exactly, but at some point tomorrow, believe never. Okay?